Today's show is sponsored by Brooklinen. Upgrade your nightly routine with comfortable sheets from Brooklinen and get 20% off and free shipping when you use the promo code LOVE at brooklinen.com. How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff, and it's just me today. And welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned. What's up, guys? Jeff here. Excited for another podcast. Sorry, guys, this is two podcasts in a row where it's just me. There's been just a couple extenuating circumstances. Is that the right word? Extenuating? I'm gonna have to look that up. I don't know. But just Alyssa wasn't feeling good last week. Jess is finally on the up and up. But then tonight is our last night to shoot a podcast before we go on vacation. But Alyssa's scheduled a little get together with her friend Robin Jones Gunn, which I don't know if you guys know her, but Alyssa wrote a book with her called Spoken For, and they're going out for coffee or drinks or poo-poos or, oh, and poo-poos, by the way, in Hawaiian is just appetizers. Don't get alarmed. Whenever we tell the people on the mainland that we're, there's going to be poo-poos, everyone is like, what? So that's just the word they use for appetizers here. It's also really funny too. Like when you go to the funniest phrase with poo-poos is if you go to a wedding, a lot of times they won't do a full meal. The card will just say that they're serving heavy poo-poos. And I just love that. It's like the best thing in the world. So what I want to do today is I actually want to do a little experiment. Okay. And so what I want to do today, since it's just me, it'll be a shorter podcast, 20 minutes. And what I want to do today is experiment with kind of an idea I've had for another podcast with just me. And that's kind of like a book review podcast. What I'm reading, what I'm, learning, what I maybe disagree with the book I'm reading, and stuff like that. Cause I tend to read, my goal is usually two books a week. Sometimes it's a little bit more. Sometimes it's actually less. Like this last week I maybe read one. But the last week and a half or two, I've read three books. So I want to talk about those. So if you guys think this is a dumb idea, then I won't do a podcast, but I think down the road, maybe in the summer and the fall, I think it'd be fun to do a podcast either once a week or maybe even just twice a month or something where I kind of share what I'm reading and things I'm learning about. And so, let's just get to it. Now, the first one I read, this one, guys, I put this in one of the top books of the year, mainly from the sense of just awesome stories, entertaining, but also such good, practical takeaways. It's so hard for books to have takeaways, if that makes sense, of that actually little things that change your life. This one's called Never Split the Difference. The subtitle is Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It. And it's by a guy named Chris Voss, which he was actually the former top FBI hostage negotiator. So there's a lot of FBI negotiators, but this guy was the top of the top, the boss of all the other ones, the one that they would call in when it was a really, really big deal. And he wrote a book basically on negotiating. But what's crazy is it's not really negotiating. So basically, let me give some background. So basically he was an FBI agent. So he learned all these things on just human cues and communication and negotiating and practices and human behavior for 20, 30 years in the FBI. And now he does a private consulting firm where basically he consults people on negotiating. And his clients now are mostly businesses, corporations, universities, places that kind of boardroom type stuff, that he actually puts all this stuff into practice. But so it feels not applicable at first, but from the first two pages, you're this is applicable to everyone. Cause it's not a book. It is on negotiating, but it's really a book on communicating of just oh my goodness, that's so true. When you say something like that, it means this. When you do this, it's this. And it's just it's crazy, guys. It's absolutely, absolutely crazy. And so, yeah, I wanted to talk about it. Now, let's see, where could I start? I'm just popping it open to look at a couple of things. One of his first tips in the book he talks about is called Be a Mirror. And he talks about, this concept of a lot of people get really combative in some type of discussions, they get really if someone says something they don't like, then you say something they don't like, et cetera. But he said one of the quickest ways to get people kind of down a road of trusting you so that then they open up better to kind of get what you want out of it, not selfishly, but just so that it opens up that door. And then also kind of he goes in a creative way that still makes them feel like they have the power, is he calls one of the things it's called is a mirroring. And so literally all mirror, it's exactly what you think it is. It's just when you're communicating with someone, a really good, healthy way to communicate that feels like they're still in power, that also still is helpful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like it does like 5-6 different things, is mirror them. And that basically means when they say something, mirror it back to them, usually in question form. Usually mirroring starts with the phrase of, so what I hear you saying is, and then you repeat what they say. You can kind of reshape the words. And he goes, what's really cool about that too is it definitely puts them in a position where when you mirror someone and then they say like, yes, that's what I meant or whatever, then it's like, then you kind of have them where you want them, where like they can never come back with like, oh, I didn't mean that or anything like that. He's like, no one ever does that when they confirm, kind of basically when they double down on something that you, say. And let me see, there's a really, really interesting story he gives in here that I want to see if I can find that was, really, really good. Sorry guys, I should have been way more prepared with which ones I'm going to. But it's, guys, it is literally one of the best. It's just one of the best books I've read in a long time. You guys need to get it. Let me see. Will I can find this? Oh, here it is. Okay. So this is like a practical takeaway. He talks about a huge, crazy hostage situation, but then he talks about this as a just a simple way of mirroring to kind of get your way in like an office work setting. And he just does one quick simple story. So he says, one of my students experienced the effectiveness of this simple process at her workplace. He said, where her impulsive boss was known for his drive-bys, where he would just come by the office, demand a bunch of things, and then kind of skirt off. And it was kind of infuriating because then it just felt like it made extra work. It was kind of his way of giving false security of like power and leadership. And I need this done. Kind of when he got stressed out, he kind of went around the office and assigned a bunch of things that were unnecessary. But whenever you would confront it or combat it, he would just get more aggravated and say, no, like you need to do it or something like that. And so one of the things was he wanted two copies of this certain paperwork. And, what she did is this, because she took a class with this guy, she only mirrored him back. So all she did is say exactly what he said back to him. And it literally got her out of the situation. So he pops into the office and says, hey, we need to make two copies of all this paperwork. And she goes, two copies, like question mark, and just leaves it there. Because he says the intention behind that is kind of like, please help me understand more. Like, can you elaborate? And he said, yes, one for us and one for the customer. And she goes, I'm sorry. So are you saying that the client is asking for a copy and we need a copy for internal use? So again, she just said the same thing back to him, but in a question form. And he goes, actually, I'll check with the client. They haven't asked for anything, but I definitely want a copy. That's just how I do business. And she says, absolutely. Thanks for checking with the customer. Where would you like us to store the in-house copy? There's no more space in the file room. And he says, it's fine. You can store it anywhere. And she mirrors again, anywhere, and then just leaves it. And she said, he pauses. And then he says, as a matter of fact, just put him in my office. And he goes, I'll get the new assistant to print it for me after the project is done. For now, just create two digital backups. And so, again, it's like if you just sit silent and you mirror, it's crazy how it kind of like lets the other people continually do the legwork and continually, basically like just kind of keep going down this road of not incriminating themselves, but just like they kind of figure out their own situation. It's just super, super interesting. That's one little tip. But real quick, I want to talk about a sponsor of, this week's episode guide, guys, and that is Brooklinen. And now we absolutely love, love, love Brooklinen. And as you know, we've talked about them before. Their sheets, their bedding, it's one of the best things we've ever discovered. You spend a third of your life in your sheets, and so it makes a difference how you sleep. Me and Alyssa are like sleep addicts. I know that's weird to say that, but like I sleep 10 hours a night, probably maybe 9. I take 2-hour naps. So sheets are important to me because I'm in the bed almost half of the day. Half of the 24-hour cycle. Can I get an amen? Can I get anyone else? We are not those people that try to hustle and grind till 3 a.m. We are not sleep deprived. We believe in sleep. We believe the Lord gave it to us for a reason. And so we care about it. And so the cool part is Brooklinen makes some of the best sheets, and they're the most comfortable sheets, and there's no big markup. And you can upgrade your nightly routine and help you feel more well rested. And they were actually founded in a couple years ago by a husband and wife team, Vicky and Rich, and their philosophy is awesome, where they want to be the most beautiful, comfortable home essentials with no crazy prices. And there's no unnecessary markups and fees. And most bedding is marked up as much as 300% outside of Brooklinen, and they wanted to solve that problem. And so they're the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews. And so we want to hook you guys up. Okay. We want to give you guys an exclusive offer just for you guys. So that's get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code love at brooklinen.com. And they're so confident that they actually offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. And the only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code love at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code love. Check them out. Okay, guys, I got two more books, but geez, this is like, I just want to keep reading this book. Okay, so Never Split the Difference. That's the title of this book. It's phenomenal. It's insane. Even that little story I just picked out right there, that wasn't the biggest insight. It's just a normal common story, but it's like 100 of those in the book. You're like, oh, that's amazing. That's awesome. He has crazy field tested stories. He talks about tactical empathy. He talks about mirroring. He actually talks about mastering the art of no. He goes, a lot of people, think no is a dirty word in negotiation. He actually says it's the secret to good negotiation. And he goes, and actually making the other side feel loved and understood. And, it's really interesting. And then he talks about, the black swan idea, which is, it's just, guys, get the book. It's just like, it was fun. It was entertaining. Super practical, changed how I see the world and human interaction and behavior and communication. So, 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 so good. The next book, I'll just talk about this one briefly because I know a lot of you have probably read it. It was a really popular book in Christian circles maybe last year, 2 years ago, and that's Present Over Perfect, Shauna Nyquist. Alyssa and I love her writings. Alyssa has read a lot of her other books previously about kind of food and stuff like that. And we love, what's the one that has some of the recipes in it? I think it's like Bread and Wine. Present Over Perfect was really good. The subtitle is Leaving Behind Frantic for a Simpler, More Soulful Way of Living. Now, I actually read this one for research because I don't know if you guys saw but or listened to last week's podcast. This is kind of tangentially related to kind of the stuff I'm trying to dig into right now with rhythms, practices, formation, chaos, order, disciplines, etc. And so, yeah, it was really, really good. She has such a way. I don't know if you've read Shauna's books, but she's one of those like writers at heart where she's not just a teacher. She's not just giving you information. She's not just distilling ideas. She is like an expert at the prose, P-R-O-S-E. Like just her sentences are artistic. They're beautiful. Very like you go on this journey with her and she's able to just get right down to the center of what a certain story and how it made her feel. And you're right there with her. She's one of those writers where I'm like, oh, I don't wish I could write like that because it's like I think so differently, but it's like, man, she has a gift and she has honed a skill. But yeah, I really like the book. So let me see if I can find an excerpt that I really liked. It's in essay form, so it's kind of like, it's not like super systematic. It's like each chapter is kind of just a little essay, but it does certainly have a journey to it. And so yeah, I think it's really good. And so, let's see where's the part? I dog ear pages. I don't know if you guys dog ear. And so it kind of reminds me that like, oh, that's something I want to remember on that page. But then I have to go back and remember what's actually on that page. Does that make sense? Cause I don't underline what's actually in the page. And so, let's see here. Where was one of the friend told me? Oh yeah. There was just this part that stuck out to me of, with her speaking career and stuff of that nature. And this is kind of the same journey me and Alyssa had a couple of years ago where, she basically just had to start saying no and learning the art of no and saying like, I can't do that. And, a friend basically just said like, man, you're pulling the ripcord on your career by being so outspoken about how badly, I'm going to just read it. A friend of mine told me I was pulling the ripcord on my career by being so outspoken about how badly I didn't want to travel and speak anymore. Didn't I realize that the people who are asking me to speak might read my blog where I talk about that and then not invite me? And she goes, exactly. I said, that's the plan. I'm a writer, not a speaker, but I'll never write another book again if I can't get out of this constant cycle of output and exhaustion. She said, I had the sense that my essential self, my best self was slipping away and the new person in her place was someone I didn't want to be. And I just really resonated with that where, I think so many of us are in a state of chaos. We're in a state of disorientation, misorientation, disorderedness. But we're afraid to pull the ripcord, right? Like we're afraid to quit the job. We're afraid to break up with that person we're dating. We're afraid to, you know, tell our spouse we need to go to marriage counseling. We're afraid to just do the really big decision that you know will really put a line in the sand and like kind of like give you a before and after moment in your life, right? And especially with that question that she talks about in there is if whatever journey you're on, like in your job, in your kind of, in your human nature, in how you feel in the sense of like, how you like, if you just kind of had to summarize who you are and how you feel the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months, the last couple of years, if you keep yourself on that trajectory, is that a place you want to go? So now whatever, however you feel, however your life looks like, just add a year, maybe add 2 years, maybe add 3 years. Is that where you want to be? And if it's not, then you might need to pull the ripcord on some things, right? And I'm actually really passionate about that. I think so many times we don't curate our lives around the things that matter the most. We don't let our lives orbit around Jesus, obviously, but in the physical world, we don't let our lives orbit around our marriage or our individual spiritual health or our mental health. We don't orbit our lives and center our lives around the things that actually truly, truly matter. We orbit them around the things that actually don't and actually lead to a lot more of the brokenness, right? We orbit our lives around work, around a certain, again, maybe dating relationship, a hobby, an idol, a desire. And so it's really, really fascinating to me. And so you guys check out Present Over Perfect. I really, really enjoyed it. I read it really fast. I think I read it in like two quick nights before bed. So what would that have been? Just maybe like a couple hours. Really, really, really good book. And I want to tell you guys about another sponsor real quick. This last week's sponsor is Zola. Now, if you don't know Zola, they're a wedding company that will do anything for love, they like to say. They're actually reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier, from engagement to wedding to decorating your first home. They're there and they're awesome. Now, a couple things. They're free. It's free, it's easy to use, and it's fun. There's over 300,000 couples, I think, who have used Zola, and their registry has everything you love about your favorite department stores, plus things like honeymoon funds, fitness classes, wine subscriptions, and so much more. They have over 500 top brands, 50,000 gifts, and you can personalize your registry with photos and notes about why you're coveting and wanting certain gifts. They price match, and there's free shipping every day, and they have a top-rated app. It's absolutely incredible, guys, and we absolutely love it. So we want to hook you guys up again with a special offer. So to sign up with Zola and actually receive a $50 credit towards your registry, if you're looking to get married or you're on that journey, which I know a lot are on this podcast, then go to zola.com/Jeff and Alyssa. So that's zola.com/Jeff and Alyssa, zola.com/Jeff, ANDALYSSA. And yeah, guys, I remember even looking back on our wedding, we got married in a barn. It was super Pinteresty and awesome and trendy before we got, before that was even Pinteresty and trendy, which is kind of cool. Super hipster. But I remember, yeah, there was a couple little details. We're like, man, I wish something like this existed, back then, or at least we knew about it. And so it's super, super awesome. And so, make sure to check them out. zola.com/Jeff and Alyssa. Okay, guys, the last book I have for you, this one is hilarious because I got it recommended to me. I bought it, and it wasn't until I showed up that I realized that it was published in 1948. And not just like published in 1948 and this is like a reprinting. Amazon literally sent me the version from 1948. Like, it was a white and brown cover, but now it's yellow because, you know, paper just turns like gross yellow. It's like ripped. All the paper inside is yellow. It's crazy. But the book is called Alternative to Futility, and the subtitle is A Companion Book to the Predicament of Modern Man, Foundations for Reconstruction. Which, interesting, is I didn't feel like it didn't seem like it's related to that book, but I didn't feel like I needed that book to get this book. It was really, really, really interesting. I'll even actually read the little description here. So think about this, guys. 70 years ago, this guy named Elton Trueblood wrote this. And I think the description in the book actually gives a lot of exactly why I liked it. It says this: modern man, now come to a full consciousness of his spiritual sickness, is ready for the first time to accept a thoroughgoing remedy. Dr. Trueblood is convinced. And here he presents his prescription for restoring the total health of civilization. In his own words, I offer these pages with real humility because I know the danger of giving an answer which seems too simple. I know how much easier it is to criticize than create. And all I can say is that I have sought to give the best positive answer of which I am capable, and that I have the temerity to be specific rather than vague and merely general. Dr. Trueblood's answer is what he calls a redemptive fellowship, the only alternative to futility, which holds promise of adequate fulfillment in our age. This book develops the idea of such fellowship, a creative society in miniature, and a beloved community which may have small beginnings but can grow like the mustard seed. Essentially, guys, his premise, which I actually didn't know this reading, so it kind of surprised me that he was going this route, but I totally agree. First of all, it's interesting to read something written in 1948 where he talks about like the problem, and you know, the first chapter is basically about how about how just like we're so spiritually sick after the, this is 1948, so 3 years after the war, after the wars, the Industrial Revolution, after, you know, a certain amount of, you know, century or two, all these different things. He's like, we have just finally realized like we are fat and sick spiritually. Like we're obese and unhealthy, and just like this picture of just like we're filled to the max of what we wanted emotionally, mentally, in an entertainment way, spiritually, and we realize it's lacking, right? It's like we're in an entertainment culture, a fast culture. But guys, he was saying these things in 1948. Like we almost think that's the idealistic time, that's the time we want to go back to, and he's saying no. So it's crazy to me to read that and then just realize, man, that's just times 100 now. So it's almost like crazy prophetic, because it's like, man. But his answer is what he calls a redemptive society, and essentially basically what he means by that is a creative picture of the community of Jesus, where he basically says the answer to the depth and the meaning that you are so desperately searching for is you actually being part of a creative community that's submitting to Jesus. And he talks about how he kind of draws these comparisons between Rome, where he's like, Rome was at the end of this point in their journey, or close, where they were very similar to the West, where they just say they had all the things they wanted. There was a level of scale and mass efficiency and greed and hedonism. That's the word I've been looking for. And yet you get this little like nomadic people, in some sense, this little group of people that start declaring certain things as true, that Jesus resurrected, that changes how they see each other. Everyone's equal now, on opposite and on the same footing, and that they die for each other. They serve each other. They love each other. They're you know, sexually chaste and faithful, and all these different things that made them different. And they were in this crazy community. And he goes, that witness just blew the Romans right over, right? Like, sure. And Romans even tried to stamp it out. But 300 years later, he goes, with Constantine, then it actually had gotten so large that they actually started to order society around Christianity. And that's just mind blowing, from like basically zero to that in 300 years. And he just says that answer is the same today, that if we would actually be the true display of Christian community serving each other. You can come in real quick. Oh yeah, guys, it's Alyssa. So remember I was telling you, she's going out with Robin tonight. She just popped in because she wanted me to say night to Kinsley on Drop Cam, and I could totally stop the podcast, but I'm not going to do that. And you guys are just going to hear us do this. But we have this little like app on our phone where we can talk to like the monitor in Kinsley's room. And every single night when we kiss her goodnight and leave the room, she always wants us to say one more extra goodnight on the monitor. And so, she's teared up. Okay. Well, night, sweetheart. Love you so much. Love you to the moon and back. Probably because we took so long, but so that's what we do, which is really fun. But yeah, guys, so that's this book is just insane. It's insane. It has such a good picture. He draws crazy comparisons between like Nazi Germany and communist Russia right after the war, or why those ideals got really powerful during the war and how they were able to scale so fast. And he kind of talks about that they're drawing on that same power of like wrapping up a community in something bigger than themselves. He goes, it was just obviously evil and around you know, evil intentions and gross distortions and et cetera. But he just had some crazy, crazy insights in there. So Alternative to Futility, I got it on the Amazon. So I think it's on there, but it's from 1948. So I don't know if you guys can have trouble finding it or not, but all right, guys, that's all I got this week. Love you guys. And let me know if maybe this was weird or you liked it. If you're a book nerd like me, if you maybe like a podcast once a month, once a week like this. And yeah. All right. Talk to you guys later.